Pretty solid episode. Solid. Solid.
Bad songwriting. Smoking strange. When I met a penguin, goddamn it, he was deranged. We were talking soccer, then it all fucking changed. I saw him press recording, uploaded to his page. Oh, that deranged penguin. For an Antarctic bird, he should talk fast. Oh, that deranged penguin. He made me an unwilling victim of his podcast.
Ouch, ouch.
Just dabbing in. Just dabbing. You look nice today, man, I gotta
say. You're very nice.
Just today?
Yeah, the other days. I gotta say, I was peeking out the window. I was like, maybe one of those chicks, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Maybe one of those dudes right there,
yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Yeah. Ladies and gentlemen, we are nothing if not consistent. And we are missing yet another member. Every week, just missing somebody.
Every week. I'm never going to see Dell again.
Yeah, no. It's not going to happen.
We are hashtag Dell from this hashtag. Was named. I don't know where that guy is. He didn't even have an excuse. He's like, no, fuck it.
He didn't need one. He's Dell.
Nah.
Not doing it.
When is summer solstice? Do y'all have any idea?
Mm-hmm.
No.
The longest day of the year?
Today?
Yeah. I know it's the longest, but I didn't know when it was. If that might be the reason Dell was missing. Like, we're sneaking up on it. He had some big
today,
preparation.
Right?
It's today.
Yeah, it's today.
It is?
Yeah.
Well, there you go. That's why.
Yeah, before we hit record, you were like, God, it's so light outside. Where's the darkness?
I've never seen light pouring through your blinds quite the same way
as
I have right now.
I think sunset tonight is not for like 8:30 something. I mean, the sun's going down right now.
It's getting there.
We're recording a bit early today.
Thinking about it.
That's
true.
Crazy.
We are early.
Nothing crazy. I mean, yeah, it's that's what happens, dude. 8:37, that's when sunset occurs here in this region of the country. Speaking of sunsets, the sunset on the Golden State Warriors' greatest season. 73-9 in the regular season. And I think it was 15-9 in the postseason.
Can I just say that I predicted the outcome of this series?
She did. She did predict it. When did you predict it? That's more important, I think.
After the first game.
What did you say?
I said that the Cavaliers would lose the first two games.
Right.
But they would win the title.
There you go.
You and my wife both predicted it. Lauren's prediction came after game four. After game four,
that's
when
a pretty huge
Cleveland
prediction.
Was down 3-1. She was like, I guarantee this thing is 7. And I was like, what?
Yeah, for you non-sportsers out there, you got to win. It's a best-of-7 series, right? You got to win 4 games out of the 7. And no team that had gone down 3-1 in the NBA Finals had ever came back and won. That was it. It was like never done. Now,
never schmever.
Yeah, the Warriors had previously come back from 3-1 against the Thunder in the Western Conference Finals, and that had only been done
like three or four,
a handful of times. Yeah, yeah. And so it was pretty incredible. Steph Curry after they had game four was walking off the court, and Usher Raymond, you know, the guy, the singer, dancer.
U.S. agent.
Yeah, him. He told Steph, he's like, you know, you guys came back from down 3-1. You know, the Cavs could come back too. Because he's a part owner of the Cavaliers. It seems pretty.
Is it really?
Yeah, it's kind of random. He was like, oh, it's great. I won a Grammy. Never won a ring before.
I was like, why is he here? Like,
shut up, Usher.
He was born in Dallas.
Sit the fuck down, man.
Yeah. Raised seriously. In Tennessee. And then Atlanta. I was like,
what
list
team
goes on
is
and gets
not associated with me could I own? So
why Cleveland? Jesus. I would not want to. I don't want to be in Cleveland for anything. Keep your rock and roll Hall of Fame.
I want to be in Cleveland.
I think Memphis was like, they kind of stole that. Cleveland, the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. The city of Memphis was like, we probably should have the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame here.
Yeah.
You know, where it was like invented and stuff, you know?
Yeah.
All right, so anyway, so he told him that. He was like, and Steph was like, nah, not this team. Now, I'm all for being cocky, right? I appreciate a good cocky team. But
appreciate a good cock. What?
But yeah, that was a problem because I think that's what Draymond Green said. I appreciate punching a cock. Just can't not punch or kick. Oh, there it is. Ha! And that's what got him suspended. And that's the thing is that a lot of people are like, "Well, what? Oh, it's rigged." Famously, Ayesha Curry tweeted, "It's like, well, the NBA's rigged." Well. So the thing was that he got suspended for he basically like ball tapped him. He kind of swung his arm out and hit him.
Yeah.
And the thing is that he wouldn't have been suspended just for that. He probably would have gotten just a technical foul, which is, you know, it's a separate thing. It's like worse than a foul. Again, if you're not a sports fan, technical foul basically just like a yellow card in soccer. Like, hey, we're warning you. We're keeping, you know. Different than a regular style.
Just don't do that shit again or you'll be gone.
Yeah. But the thing was that he had body slammed the guy in the first round. And he kicked what's his name? Steven Adams from the Thunder twice in that series.
Yeah.
And so it was like, all right, dude, like what are we gonna do? I mean, the only way you'll stop kicking or punching people's dicks is if you if you sit out a game. Yeah, so
which I mean I you know, people talk about how it's rigged. You know, oh, this is bullshit. He shouldn't have been thrown out of the game. Okay. He was the only reason the Thunder were in Game 7 was because Draymond Green was not in Game 5.
Are you talking about, you mean the Cavaliers, not the Thunder, right?
No, what do you mean? Cavaliers. Because
he was not in Game 5.
Yeah, because he was... I mean, I really felt like of everybody in the entire game last night, in Game 7 of the Cavaliers-Warriors series, he was the only one that looked even halfway rested. Everybody else was sluggish. And listen, I understand they play like 115,000 games.
Yeah.
They're tired. They were slugging it out for 7 games. This guy had a whole game off.
Mm-hmm.
He was the only one who looked like he had a whole game off. I mean, seriously.
Yeah,
he was hitting buckets left and right in Game 7, and people were pissed off and said, well, we wouldn't have even had to go to a game. Whoa.
Yeah.
You could have lost that game just as easy, okay? And you would have been fucking lights out, kicked to the curb in Game 7 if this guy didn't have a little bit of rest.
I mean, that I haven't heard anybody back it up and say, yeah, well, yeah, the only way he played so well. The thing was that he's like, I felt like we would have won Game 5. And they probably would have had increased odds. But here's the thing. LeBron James played outside of his mind. I think that, you know, LeBron James could always do this. He's done this before. Score ridiculous points. Be able to score, rebound, block shots. Even shots that are, you know, higher than the rim. Like, what if I throw my shot way up there? He got it. He got up there and got it.
He's way behind. He's 10 feet behind me. There's no way he can get the... Oh, he got it.
Oh, dang. Okay, well. So, he... You know, I always say, I explain, I'm like, 20 points. That's like, all right, good 20 points for your best player. 30 points. That is solid. That is my very best player playing a good game. 40 points. That is stepping up. Like, this guy's playing better than he should. Now, the same thing with the rebounds. Your guard, all right, he got 8 rebounds. That's pretty good. It's pretty solid. 10, 11, 12, great. 15, you're like, this guy is dominating out there. He's getting rebounds that he shouldn't get. And, you know, and not only just getting lucky, just getting the ones that just fall right to him, but he's going up there and getting rebounds he shouldn't get.
Yeah.
Same thing with assists. 3 or 4, they're just handing the ball off to a guy there.
9.
Yeah.
10.
Like, yeah. Like, okay, all right, yeah. You're giving passes to dudes, you know what I mean? And then on top of that, 3 blocks, 3 steals. It's just that's the guy that's dominating the rec game. You're like, man, who's this dude? Who picked him up? I didn't even know he was that good. You know, it's like that guy.
I will say, and
he
I'm
did
not
that for 3 games in a row. That's ridiculous. Yeah.
So the reason my wife said it was going to 7 is because she thinks the NBA is rigged too. She is Steph Curry's wife. And she's like, it's all bullshit. And she looked at the schedule, and before she said anything, she was like, Game 7's on Father's Day. It's gonna be Game 7. You know these motherfuckers are gonna be making money on ad sales on Father's Day? Are you kidding me? Of course it's going to a Game 7.
Not I was bad like theory.
Fuck you.
A couple things about like those conspiracy things. Like I do not doubt that some games are rigged. Like more like they kind of call them closer to mess with the point.
Right. Like yeah. The differential.
Yeah. But I think the majority of those kinds of games are in like Milwaukee versus Chicago on November 19th. On that fucking Thursday night where nobody's like paying attention. Yeah. That's the game where they do it. Not the games where, like the NBA Finals. Like even then, the NBA Finals, they kind of just mix up a little bit.
Well, and I think, and this is reffing in general, so I don't think this can specifically be linked to a series or a sport or a time. But I think refs can very significantly alter the outcome of games. And I think they do very significantly alter the outcome of games. And there have been refs that have been found to have been paid.
Yeah.
It's not like it's beyond the scope of reason. And I got to say, there have been, and I know part of it's like, oh, well, it's a makeup call because I missed this one call. And there's a lot of like psychological things that go into refereeing a baseball game or a basketball game or whatever, too. But there were some questionable calls on some players and for both teams where I was like, that was fucking bunk. Like, come on, man. Like, you get paid a lot of money from the NBA. I'm sure you get paid under the table. from the NBA to do this job well, and you're sucking at it right now. So,
yeah. I mean, yeah. The thing is that, like, there's a couple times that, like, the ball went out clearly on the Warriors, and they're like, they gave it to the Warriors. They're like, here you go. It's fine. Yeah. I mean, like, it's really hard to tell. A lot of times, if you're going to mess with a thing, it's like one or two points that they manipulate, because that's where they make the biggest difference in gambling. So, yeah, I mean, I don't know. I believe every sport, every major sport, is manipulated somehow by gambling, because, whatever. Nothing's true. I mean, they just found out that soccer is, like, really corrupt. But soccer's a little bit easier because it's one ref, right? And he's like, oh, I couldn't see over there. That's why he gave the pretty obvious penalty call. Or just send a guy off and it makes it real easy. Whatever. The thing was that LeBron James put on an epic performance. And I came in, like, at the end, came into NBA consciousness at the end of Michael Jordan's career. And all that was pretty great. But he was, he wasn't the high-flying guy that everybody else remembers him for. Right. I got to see LeBron James' career from beginning and almost now to the end. And so for me, he's like the freakish guy that I'm – the one I'm going to be like, look, when it's fucking Jones Johnson in 2035, whatever, I'm going to be like, no, like fucking LeBron James, you don't understand. He, jumped up onto the roof of the arena and blocked the basketball.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right.
That's going to be my dude. And that was
some parent who just had a kid named Jones Johnson is going, oh my God! My kid's going to be an NBA player! I had no idea. That was amazing. I can't wait.
I'll be a billionaire. Johnson, yeah.
Because with inflation at that point in time, they're going to be making $150 million a year.
Now, speaking of bragging about predictions, I was telling one of my friends, I was like, you know what I want? I want it to go to Game 7. This was like after the Cavaliers won Game 3. I was like, I think they're going to get blown out because they look terrible in two of the first three games. I just want it to go 7 and then Kyrie Irving to just cross over Steph Curry and hit a jumper in his eye at the buzzer, because that would be fucking great. Because I like Kyrie Irving's game. And I felt like, everybody likes to knock him. Like, oh, he's an over-dribbler. You don't understand that he's not just ball-hugging for the sake of ball-hugging. He's trying to do something out there.
And up until 2 years ago, he was
the only good guy on a shitty team.
Yeah, he was the only good guy, but also the only like sub 6'3" guy on an NBA squad. You know, yeah. The David among Goliaths trying to figure out some way to throw it over people. I mean, like, you have to dance around and you have to dribble. I mean, like,
yeah. Like, to catch them off balance just a little bit, a little tiny bit where they're on their heels, and now I can rise up and flick a jumper in. That's all.
Yeah.
So you have to do that, and that means you kind of have to rock them, counter moves a little bit. It was great.
Yeah,
and
I
it
was
nearly
wanting...
came to fruition. He hit the game winner, essentially, and that was pretty amazing.
I wanted the Warriors to win.
Is that because you're anti-Bron?
No, I'm not anti-Bron.
I have a friend Charlotte,
Nate
right?
Schumann.
Yeah.
Who friend is a big Bull, big friend of the show, big Bulls fan. He loves Michael Jordan and won't shut up about how this 72-10 team is the best team they ever played. All this shit. And this was sort of like the perfect storm for a Bulls fan, right? Because they don't like Cleveland,
mm-hmm.
but they don't want any other team
be the best,
yeah, the record.
I think somebody said it's got to be real hard for Mike Jordan out there, because if LeBron to come back and win, LeBron had to do something nearly superhuman that could put in that conversation of being the best player of all time. You know, or does he want that, or does he want his greatest season ever to be taken up? He's like, dang, so what do I choose?
Yeah.
What do I root for? Maybe I root for Kyrie Irving to make it interesting. I don't know.
That's why I was hoping Golden State would win. I just wanted him to close out the season, but I'm not anti-LeBron. And, you know, I'm glad Kyrie went ahead and got himself a ring. Because he's a great player.
I think the best way to follow the NBA is on Twitter. Somebody photoshopped Steph Curry throwing the behind-the-back pass that he did and went out of bounds, that went awry. They photoshopped that into being the Larry O'Brien trophy, the NBA title trophy. Toss that out of bounds. That's fucking great.
I like that. That's good.
All right. So, ladies and gentlemen, in case you missed it, last week we talked about some things. And it was pretty good. We won't bore you with the whole thing, recapping it right now, because it's best if you listen firsthand. We had our first coffee correspondent section. Did I say section?
You did say session.
Hesh. Yeah, so talk about, well, go back and listen to that. Our coffee correspondent, Colton, said, that was pretty good. So there you go. Raving reviews. Yeah, that was pretty good. It's a pretty solid episode. Solid. Solid. I do think it was solid, and I too think it was solid. You could go listen to it. We talked about espresso. Do you have any hot takes on the espresso? Espresso, maybe not as that.
Espresso. I just hate when people say espresso.
Yeah.
It just makes me want to fight them. Like, I'm in line because I need a jolt in the morning, and as soon as I hear espresso come out of somebody's mouth, I can save myself $4. I don't need your caffeine anymore. I just want to fight somebody. I don't know enough about different kinds of espresso to have like a hot opinion. I like espresso.
Yeah.
Do
you sip or stir? Do you just get it, or do you get it and like stir the crema in?
I just sip. I'm not interested in the stirring.
Yeah.
I mean, that's fine. I'm not shitting on somebody else's stirring. But
just shit on them. Right there.
I just like to sip the espresso.
You sip or you shoot it? Like, sip. You shoot it? Or do you, like...
Oh, no, I sip. I just sip.
Okay, I like that.
It usually takes me, like, 3 sips. Mm-hmm. 4 sips, maybe. Love it. Love it. It's really good.
Yeah.
I will say that I'm pretty jealous, though, after reading the San Antonio article.
Yeah.
We don't have a single, like, fourth wave... fancy fucking coffee place
in Richmond. I feel like you would.
We've got places that they'll like roast in house.
Yeah,
we don't have anybody that'll give you like a, you know, a cleanser.
They just like,
it gives you like the sushi ginger before the coffee. You know, we don't have anywhere that gives you like. And you can buy buy fucking water or whatever, but we don't have anybody who's like so into it.
Yeah.
They're like, you must consume something to cleanse your palate so that you can fully experience the coffee.
Maybe that could be you. You that could be that you, person.
Man. Yeah.
That's bad. That I was talking to Lauren about it, and she was like, "I'm gonna fucking quit my job. This is it. This is obviously the next thing right here."
Yeah.
Oh, there you go. Maybe this, ladies and gentlemen, Deranged Penguin Podcast, setting people on new career paths. That's what you could do. So we'll get more into that. We'll figure out other places to send coffee correspondent Colton. Meantime, I got to say, kid update, that I feel like having kids is the reason people like kids, aside from all the biological whatever, is because kids are stupid, and they're so stupid. And
are you talking like Obama?
They're so stupid.
I was going to say Cosby.
They're so stupid that they don't like know that you're not funny. And it's just an ego boost for you. You're there.
Oh, it is. It's so easy.
You just
kind
of go, whoop, whoop, whoop. And then they start laughing. You're like, I'm just the funniest fucking person in this world.
But I have to say, it's cool. It makes you feel good until you leave the kid in the other room and you hear them laughing like that and no one's in there. And you realize it's not you. It could be you. It could be the ceiling fan. They'll laugh at anything.
Exactly. There you go. You and the ceiling fan have the same level of comedy.
Yeah.
I think it's a biological. I think it's a biological response, though.
Yeah.
Like, I think that the great creator made the kid laugh because they know that you're tired. They know that you're pissed off about your dog barking and waking your kid up.
Yeah.
You know, you need a little bit of giggles just to keep you, keep you sane.
I guess, there's been a couple times I got home from work, and the time I got back, and I was a little tired or a little frustrated or something, and then the kid will smile with their little dimple at you, and I'm like, oh, look at that. Life ain't so bad, you know, when you got a little smile like that. I don't know, she's just fucking tricking me, so we were like, well, we're not so stressed out. We can take care of you. We can continue to take care of you.
I didn't need four hours of continuous sleep. It's okay.
It's overrated, man.
Silly. Sleep.
So great out. So Gina's holding the kid.
Yeah. Naked. I tried to dupe her into sleeping, and she didn't fall for it. She knew better.
Yeah.
But now, what? She'll sleep out here, right? Is she awake?
Yeah, it's like last week's episode. I was a little distracted while recording because I was having to hold the kid. I don't know, she likes to sleep in weird. She likes to lean forward and sleep, so I was kind of holding it on my hand. But then occasionally she's like,
"Yeah."
It's fun. It's funny that Gina and the kid have a little battle sometimes.
Yeah.
Just to, you know,
battle of the wills.
Yeah. Well, the kid's kind of like, I'm uncomfortable, and so then you got to do the whole investigative, troubleshooting technique. Well, did she shit herself? No. Is her foot, like, caught on something? No. Is it too hot? No. Is she hungry?
Cause too cold.
Too cold. She just sometimes, like, I don't like laying on my side right now. I want to be sitting down. But you can't tell that. You have to go through the whole routine.
Right.
And when you land on that one, it's like, picking a lock or, like, a big safe lock with the little thing that you get it.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I think I heard that one. She's going to be fine for 30 seconds.
Right.
Yeah.
Have y'all had any episodes yet where, do you have areas in the apartment where you can isolate sound, where you can take her if she's losing her gourd for like 4 hours in the middle of the night?
No, and I don't think we've had to have that place yet. Yet. Why?
That was a difficult one for me. That didn't happen with the second kid. But with the first kid, that happened a handful of times. And I don't know, man. I mean, I'm not saying that I'm going to throw my kid in the dryer, but
I maybe looked at the laundry room. I just see that.
It's only occasionally where I think the most irritating thing she can do is she's hungry and she's like eating her hand, and then you try to feed her, and then she cries.
Yeah.
And I'm like, why? I'm giving you food.
Yeah.
She's just yelling at me. Like, okay. Don't have to do it right now. Just breathe.
Way to be a brat. I think the funny thing was last time she was crying real bad. And so I was kind of waiting for Gina to return home You know, I went through all the tricks that I could do to distract her. Like, let me play with you for a little bit. Let me walk around and kind of bounce you on my shoulder. Like, now she just wouldn't take it. She's like, I know you're just fucking trying to distract me, guy. So she was just, like, full on wailing in my face.
Yeah.
And she's kind of fun to look at. I like to look at her for a little bit when she's like,
ah! Oh, yeah. But she didn't have a lot of, like girth to the yell yet.
No.
And she'll yell. She'll get some, like, decent volume out there. Give her, like, 3 or 4 months.
Yeah.
Man, I'm telling you, when she yells, your fucking neighbors are going to be calling the cops. It's going to be amazing.
It's funny that she's so small and she can be so loud. It's crazy.
Oh, it's crazy.
Yeah.
But then she was crying so much, she, like, passed out by the time it was...
Right when I showed up.
She's like... See what turns up.
She only had energy for that.
But yeah, I mean, kids are, I think, you know, that's what it is. We've talked about this before, and I guess to be sort of serious, I think it's real easy to kind of get caught up in that because your kid is your biggest fan for a while. That you're just like, well, this is me. I will now just only be the kid's entertainment. And then once the kid starts seeing that you're just a guy, you know, or you're just some chick that had a kid, they're like, you're not so cool anymore. I'm going to go play with my friends. You're like, oh, but what happened? What happened to me? I thought we had our cool time.
Yeah. I can be your friend. No, you can't. No, you can't, Jane.
Yeah. Yeah. I think it's going to be a big challenge.
You can't, Stephanie.
Dad? Just drop me off over here.
Okay. That's what I'm going to say. I'm going to be like, all right. Sounds good. And my Ford Taurus. Mm-hmm. Drop you off over here.
You know, if my kids are saying that, I'm like, you know, you can just take the fucking bus. I don't know what I'm telling them, I'm dropping you off for. If you want to be seen with me, that's fine. You just get on the bus. That way I don't have to wake up at 5:42 to drop you off. Yeah, jeez.
Did y'all ride the bus when you were kids?
Yeah, occasionally. I lived like in kindergarten and like, what is it, elementary school. I walked to school because it was, you know, right there, like about a mile, I guess.
Yeah.
Less than a mile. It's like something like that. Less than a mile.
Yeah.
That was fine. So I just leave. My mom's like, you're going to be late. You better hurry up. I'm like, oh, can you walk? She's like, you can walk. Like, all right. Just, yeah. I went to like middle school that it was, I had to get dropped off at the bus location.
Yeah.
What about you? You ever ride?
I rode the bus.
Riding a bus.
Riding I don't know how long it lasted, but it wasn't long.
Did you sit at the back or the front?
Maybe through kindergarten. It might not have even lasted 1 year. I got my ass beat on the bus. I think everybody got their ass beat on the bus eventually, right? Like, did you ever get roughed up or, like, get into a fight or anything?
Well, I didn't.
No, not on the bus. You have to understand, this was in the San Antonio. No, San Antonio Independent School District. So, you know, all these minorities, treated like a criminal if you get in a fight. They fucking give you, you know, fine you and arrest you and shit. So nobody did their fighting on the bus. They would do their fighting outside of school.
Everybody was just waiting.
Yeah.
Seething.
I did get in a fight on my way to school a couple times, but...
Yeah.
To and fro, but not on the bus.
I didn't.
If you're smart, you don't get...
I never got in a
fight. You don't fight at school, because then they fucking arrest you, and it's stupid.
Yeah. I was, like, looking out the window, and this kid in the seat behind me, like, grabbed the back of my hair, like, smashed my face into the window.
Jeez.
Like, cracked the window. I was, like, bleeding and shit down my face.
Was he collecting money or something?
Yeah, he was even less thrilled when he found out my brothers were sitting behind him. And
What was his deal? Like, what sparked him?
Did he say,
I don't even remember. I probably said something smartassish. This was, like, before I even, like, have consciousness as to, like, how old I was.
Yeah.
But, yeah, it just didn't last any longer. I mean, my mom was like, oh, fuck this. You know, so I'm just going to take his ass to school. Then
I guess if my kid is a real smartass, I'm probably gonna be like, all right, he's gonna fucking say something to somebody, and they're gonna uppercut him or something like that.
Well, and then that was kindergarten. And then first through sixth grade, I rode my bike because it was, like you said, it was like, you know, a couple miles. And then
my bike would have got stolen if I rode it to school.
Middle school, I got a ride for my folks. And then high school, I just figured it out.
I think the, you know,
because you always know some older kid or, you know, it's always something.
Yeah. I rode the school bus in high school for a time, and I was a little bit excited about that because it was a school bus, and I hadn't rode an actual yellow school bus the whole time. Again, San Antonio Independent School District, so they contracted with VIA or something like that. I don't know why. But we'd ride the VIA bus to school. Like, it was
awesome.
Yeah, I mean, so they're a little bit more comfortable. You can stand up.
Yeah.
And I didn't ride the yellow bus. Again, it was like 1 year, 1 month in middle school where they had that, but then they went to VIA. I didn't ride that until I went out to Skirts, Texas.
The burbs.
Yeah, and the burbs, they had the school bus. And that, again, that was just a weird experience. Like, the bus was taking me through a farm road, and there was cows on the side, and I was like, what?
Yeah.
Where am I, man? Like, there's people out here lit. Yeah, it's like, what is, what's going
you're
on
in
out
San
here,
Antonio.
Man? Well, I was in shirts. So I was up.
Wow.
Yeah. We're not in San Antonio anymore. Can't see the Alamo. So there you go. That's what was happening there.
No bus riding for you, Jana?
Yeah, off and on throughout my schooling career. It depended on where we lived. There were various times where I would, like, get dropped off at a friend's house and then walk to school with them because it was closer or whatever. Or there were times where I'd ride the bus. And then it wasn't until, like, and then there were various times where my mom would drop me off, like sometimes in junior high and sometimes in occasionally in high school. But for the most part in high school, I rode the bus.
Mm-hmm.
And since we did live in the suburbs, it wasn't that weird. Either you rode the bus or you had your own car.
Yeah. Then I get a car, I think
between the haves and have nots.
Right.
Yeah. And I mean, you know, it's fine. It's fine, whatever.
But I never got in fights or anything. It was just in my own world.
Kids can ride the bus. Get in the fucking bus.
Sit in the middle.
It also helped that one of the bus stops for our particular route was right at the top of the hill, and that's where our house was. And actually, technically, the stop was like...
In front of your house?
Well, it was not in front of my house. It was supposed to be a little bit more by Jason's house. But
like down the street a little bit.
They just always kind of kept coming a little closer because the bus, you know, he like...
Yeah.
Like, I'm right here. Yeah. And so sometimes I was going to skip the bus and he would honk and I'd lean out and be like, no, it's all right. So then he's like, okay. And give
don't
me
worry about
up.
It, Marty.
And keep driving. But I mean, also my brother and sister kind of would, you know, ride the bus there too. So, you know, they'd kind of, is anybody coming? Like, nah, we're going to bring a good ride in a Suburban today, you know? Like, all right. Well. Yeah, I forgot about that. There you go. Good times.
You were always late.
Personal run.
I don't know.
I was often late. I'd be like, hold up, run out there. Well, that was the other thing too. Is like I didn't want to stand out there waiting for the bus. I'd be in the living room. I was like, when the bus gets here, they'll honk and I'll go out. It'll be fine.
Fucking
this guy.
Spoiled ass. Fancy bus riding.
Look again. It's efficient, right? It's not an efficient use of my time standing out there by the tree.
Oh, because you needed to soak up that behind the music on VH1 that you were watching.
Yeah. It helped with some of my pop culture knowledge. That really helps with those word problems. I don't know. Ah, good times.
Do y'all think you would send your kid on a bus?
Yeah.
Probably.
I don't think there's anything wrong with the bus.
Yeah.
No, there's nothing wrong with the bus. In fact...
A whole lot better than a Greyhound.
Yeah. In fact, I wouldn't even be... I feel like I want to use public transportation more. I think we mentioned this previously on a show when we took the bus around San Antonio. That, I mean, I don't know. I feel like I should take advantage of it a little bit more. But that said, it's not as robust or efficient to ride the bus around town here as it is in some other cities.
Yeah.
Especially like bigger cities.
Speaking of school buses, I think that's one thing, the whole school subject that's kind of shifted our thoughts on it since like pre-kid and post having a child, because I know in the past when we were all idealistic and we had, you know, our hot opinions on things, we were like, homeschool or like a charter school or, you know, somewhere, you know, where it's not the public school system because it's such a mess and they don't have it right and blah, blah, blah. And now it's like, yeah, whatever, public school, she'll be fine.
Yeah.
Really?
She'll learn what she needs to learn. Yeah. I mean, we can teach her stuff at home too. We can supplement. It's, you know, whatever. We're not going to fix the public school system.
Yeah.
And I mean, she's going to be a part of it.
That's the thing is that, you know, there's the ideal world that you'd like to live in where, you know, you can...
You have unlimited funds.
Yeah, you have unlimited funds and times and knowledge and fucking, you know, and your kid's going to come out of being homeschooled and not be weird. Right? And not be like Dell.
And show up to podcasts.
Yeah.
Yeah. And, you know, then there's, you know, where you have to go to work. You're like, you know, I don't think that we could, you know, educate this kid at the level we'd want to. Well, you know, doing this whole thing.
Yeah, I mean, some people feel like they can. And, you know, to their credit, I don't know what level of education our kids are getting in public schools. Because the public school system's fucked up.
Yeah.
You know, maybe Margaret, the mom, is educating her kids much better than the education that they would receive in a public setting. But I just feel like there are a lot of intangibles that you have the possibility of getting. I don't know.
Here's the other thing, too, is that, like, the public schools will continue to suck as long as people who can...
People remove themselves from...
Yeah, as long as people say, I'm going to take my relatively high-performing kid and take him out. And most importantly, I'm going to take my tax dollars out. And they're going to go to this school. Because then, now all you have is the shit kids. And the basically shit funding. That's really what matters.
See, I've always wondered about that. Y'all are in public policy and stuff like that. So, you can't really remove your tax dollars, though, right? Like, I mean, aren't a lot of public education dollars linked to property taxes?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, I think the best way people can remove it is by moving.
Yeah, that's how they do it. They say...
Right.
And, I mean, here's one of my professors, really good. He was saying, that's the big problem. Like, how do you do it? I mean, immediately what we did as soon as we had children was move, find the best school district, and move in there. Now, I mean, he said that's the biggest driver of a lot of things. People were like, where are the best schools? Because that's where we need to move. And so my argument to him was like, well, I mean...
Or just this district we know is shitty. Let's get out of here.
Yeah. And, I mean, that's what I'm saying. Like, is one or two families staying going to make the difference? No. But it's not going to help either if they also leave. Again, if you just have the worst students, and then, I mean, a lot of times they're just really just kind of regular students, average-ass students, but... If everybody who has any means and money to pay in leaves, if every doctor, every lawyer, every family that could make a difference with their property taxes leaves, then there's nothing. There's nothing left.
Well, and part of the reason I ask that is because I think there are two components, and I think that one of them is taking your halfway intelligent kid out of the situation. Because I think that, again, I think the kids learn a lot from each other.
Yeah.
And I think that just having... You know, this kid from privileged background A might teach something to kid from not privileged background, something about his life, and they can maybe have some shared experience. Yeah, that they wouldn't otherwise get. But the economic piece of the puzzle I've never really understood because, and obviously there are outliers like these urban areas that are contracting or like Detroit, you know, or like other places in Michigan where a lot of the urban centers are literally having these population gaps. Well, yeah, I mean, you're losing tax dollars, right?
Yeah, well, this is the thing. Is that like, nobody Richmond, historically instance, has never left the city. They don't all move to, you know, California. They just move outside of Detroit.
Yeah, but even like Richmond, for instance, like people move to the suburbs for like education.
And escape whatever,
brown people. But whatever they... Whenever they, yeah, an escape is a rule is terrifying black people. But when they leave, you still can't find a house inside Richmond City.
Yeah.
Like, real estate inside the city is very, very difficult to come by. Like, these places are getting bought up by somebody, and the tax dollars are still being generated, is what I'm saying. And I know that that probably isn't everywhere. But, well, you know, yeah, Richmond, I hear a lot of the leaders around here talk about, like, well, we just don't have the tax dollars because, you know, there's all this flight and stuff like that. And I'm like, you literally have the same money coming in, guys. Like, what the fuck are you talking about?
But not necessarily. I mean, they're still owned, maybe, but they're not necessarily improved. You know, they're not high value things, or they're not enough high value ones. And like, it's hard to know the specifics of all that and exactly how it works. But generally speaking, either like in sweetheart deals to try to get some of this revitalization, they cut down on the taxes, so they don't have to pay as many taxes or as much. To whatever, so that they can get people to be there. A lot of times it's to like businesses and things like that, and or that people just own it and just keep it low. Like, I'll own that land there, but I'm gonna make sure it's still valued at 10 grand and not 150 grand or 200 grand that it could be. That will increase my tax rate, tax burden. I mean, there's lots of stuff that happens, and no, I don't think that we'll solve this problem. And I don't even think that it's I don't even think that it's having a kid, your kid. Well, my kid's smarter than this, because it's really funding.
It's just different experiences. I mean,
yeah, it's what it is. It's like the money to pay the teachers. You know, teachers are right. They're overburdened. They get the least amount, and they have the basically the kids that are like in poverty. So they have a higher burden. You know what I mean, it's easy to be like, did everybody do your homework? Did everybody get their tablets and, you know, get on the website and blah, blah, blah? Yeah, teach, we did. Versus, you're going to have to drop out because you need to fucking work for your family? Well, but I'm trying to teach you about Shakespeare here. Like, what do you mean?
I don't envy a teacher fucking ever. There's a little bit only
in the 3 months when they're off fucking taking pictures in Vegas.
Even in this three months where some of my teacher friends are like high-fiving each other at the pool every fucking day on Facebook.
Yeah.
I'm like, I'll take the drug addicts all year long, man. Because some of these people really are sacrificial lambs. I mean, like one friend of mine was telling me about like this. It's just this fucking terrible situation where, like, none of the kids eat. None of them are – they're always fucking hungry. And I was like, man, I can't complete a sentence. I'm an educated person. I can't fucking think right when I'm hungry.
Yeah.
How are you supposed to teach a kid? It's just crazy. Yeah, I don't know.
And so, yeah, like you said, Gina and I are not going to be able to solve the problem by putting – I mean – our kid might be just pretty average. Our kid might be just regular ass kid,
right?
And that'd be fine. And yeah, like generally speaking, because we are both we both have a higher education level. I sound real educated right now, don't I?
You do. You really do.
Yeah, because we got
papers on the wall and we're in a schooling time.
That our kid is more likely to just be able to perform better on standardized tests. You know what I mean? Does that mean that she's smarter? Does that mean she's more talented? No, not necessarily. Yes. Well, I'm sure Will thinks so, but
the really, gun thinks so.
Yeah, she'll just be able to, like, you know, check all the boxes correctly, and she'll be more likely to be fed in the morning, to have her homework done, to have all the supplies purchased for her, which is a struggle at times for us. For me, growing up, you know, as a kid, I'm like, I remember seeing that list. I'm like, this is like, who has money for Kleenex? Yeah, mom's like, you're not getting any Kleenex. Like,
use the toilet paper.
Yeah,
like, that's exactly. You fucking degenerate over here. You walk around with one notebook, nothing to write with. Hey man, you got a pen?
Some of that was really nice, but that can teach you something. You're like, you know, in order to survive in this world, I'm gonna have to make some friends. I can't alienate everybody in this class because who the fuck am I gonna borrow paper from? Yeah.
Well, my nose on the toilet paper.
Yeah. Yeah, if you're just a super rich kid that has all the shit, you just realize that you have a lot of friends and they just like all your stuff, you know?
Yeah,
like,
exactly. Yeah. Nobody fucking likes your ass.
No, they like your shit.
Fancy fucking
yeah.
Foreigner. whatever the hell it is you're driving.
So, I don't know. I mean, there's also that. That's what we're saying, right, Gina, that we feel like they'll be fine. A lot of it, one factor is her personality. Is she a good student? You know, just, or she bad student. She just rebel against authority. Then it doesn't really matter where we put her. You know, she's going to be rebelling. If it's a farmhouse, if like a schoolhouse, if it's homeschool, if it's overworked teacher, if it is teacher of the year, she's going to be like, nah, fuck you. You know, I mean, it's her own deal.
So, based on the fact that she is your daughter, though, and she's probably going to, I don't know, fall somewhere on the more intelligent spectrum and be pretty socially aware, and you know, she's going to be able to communicate with people and stuff. Like, she's not going to be some hobbit who like sits in a corner and shit.
But we told you she smiles at the ceiling right now, right?
I mean, what's your impulse when you hear like, well, we got to buy a house for tax reasons or for whatever, like you or you got to buy a condo or wherever you end up, well, we got to fucking buy whatever it is we're going to buy. Based on school district, based on like some, do you feel like there's a numerical value under which you cannot go? Like, well, all the schools in this district are rated 2 out of 10. I don't know, guys. I like the crown molding, but I can't make it happen.
I think it depends on what the rating is related to, because I feel like I'd be willing to go a little bit under what I consider exceptional teaching.
Yeah.
Because I think, you know, like I said, you can supplement that, and she can learn on her own and at home with us. So the teachers don't have to be outstanding, but if the rating's related to, like, is she going to get shot when she goes to class, probably would want to avoid that kind of school.
Yeah.
And, like generally, that only comes into play, like, in high school. Middle school, high school. But really, yeah, it's like high school. You're like, it turns out the dropout rate for this high school is, like, fucking 50%. It's, like, it's just a bunch of people that are just, you know, they just want to do other shit.
Right.
And that's not even to say that means, because there's been smart fucking kids that come out of those kinds of high schools. I had some of my friends are those people, and some of my friends are the other people that dropped out. And the thing is that, like, what you don't want is, like, just people that are influential to be around. Like, well, 8 of her friends are now in a gang, and so she's like, maybe I don't want to go ahead with this fucking, you know, science research to, you know, shit that I was kind of thinking about. Now I want to just hang out with my friends and, you know, rob a store. Just because I'm like, all right, then that's a problem.
Just move some heroin.
Yeah.
I don't know. Is that a significant problem in San Antonio?
Heroin?
Yeah.
I don't think so.
It is fucking rampant in Richmond, man.
Really?
I'm serious. Every weekend I hear they publish, like, on the news, they'll be like, this many people overdosed on heroin this weekend.
Jeez.
Every single weekend.
Yeah, but like, and now Jerry with the heroin overdose alert. Yeah. Hey, folks, you're going to have to step over a few more people at OD this week.
One weekend in March, there were like 31 people who overdosed on heroin.
Jeez. Are you guys getting the bad heroin?
That weekend, evidently. They said on the news, they're like, oh, there's a bad batch going around.
That's pretty crazy.
Yeah, it is.
Kids smiling and singing to us right now.
She's trying to get on the show.
Yeah.
I got some jokes.
Yeah.
I can tell you something. I'm going to be the best heroin dealer.
That's my girl. You're going to have to speak, you know, complete English sentences.
Did you put a movie?
We did. Yeah. We're supposed to watch it by today, but...
Well, was today the deadline? I thought it was the end of the month.
All right, end of the month. I think it was next week. It's what? The Momentum? The Messenger.
Oh, Memento.
Messenger.
The Messenger.
The Messenger.
From 2009, not 2015.
A Messenger?
The Messenger.
The Messenger. Yeah, but there's like 6 movies with that exact same title, so...
There's a very specific
find
one.
The right one.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I think
this is like 2 weeks ago.
The Messenger 2009, Gina mentioned it first in episode 169, Babycation.
Are you still on Babycation?
No, no, I've been back at work.
I know you have, but when...
Oh. I am.
Oh, yeah?
For about... how long has it been so far? I'm going on week 7 right now.
Yeah.
So 9 more weeks to go.
Dang. What? Damn!
Yeah. Pretty good. It's pretty cool.
Big kid over there, kid. You need to stop it.
Our child approves.
What? I mean, at this point, you've got this mom thing on lock. Like, 7 weeks in, you are killing it. Everything's good. What do you have on the Gina agenda?
Every day.
You know, that's still kind of hard to nail down because she doesn't have her own set routine still. I mean, it's fairly set, but... She likes to switch it up, like, every 3 or 4 days, change, like, the times that she takes her naps, the times that she wants to eat, shifts again, so I don't really have my own routine yet.
Yeah, now she's, like, a big gal, too. She's getting bigger, and so they're like, now your kid will take bigger shits, and also sleep for longer. So every week it's a little bit new, you know, changes.
Yeah, she's been sleeping a little longer at night, which is nice, but in the day, I don't really have a routine yet. I'd like to get in some maybe exercise just to, like, use my body again. Yeah. But I haven't figured that out yet, like, where that fits.
I don't really know.
Yeah. So we just kind of wing it. When she falls asleep, then I'm like, what can I accomplish right now?
That's right, man. That dad bod, that's some that's awesome.
You can place your kid on your gut, you know? Help the seating arrangement.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, do you do Father's Day any differently now? I mean, we just passed
up on it.
No.
No.
Man, you can really feel like nobody gives a shit about Father's Day. I forgot it was Father's Day. I was like, oh, shit, Game 7 big finals is Sunday.
Yeah.
And, that's really it.
And the ladies are so sweet. You know, Lauren wants to make it a very... big deal, and like once the girls say Happy Father's Day, and it was really sweet. They made like little cards on a piece of cardboard. And Anna's in this phase now where she like likes to write letters.
Sweet,
but she can't even make her letters, you know. So it's just these squiggly lines, and I'm like, okay, tell me what the letter says, dear daddy. She like points at different places on the squiggly lines, and it's, you know, it's fun. But. Yeah, my version, my perfect Father's Day, not even acknowledging Father's Day. My perfect Father's Day is nothing changes. We keep the routine. Stick to the game plan. That's Father's Day.
So it's like a very dad thing to want. Everything goes fine, all right? We just don't fuck with anything.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. We never really had a routine, and I even feel like, even my dad is like, hey, happy Father's Day. He's like, thanks. And, I mean, occasionally I'll get him something, but it's more like, I'm like, I think everybody has the same problem. Like, what the fuck do I get for my dad? I don't know what you like. Nobody knows that guy.
Who wants that fucking letter from his 4-year-old girl who can't even write her letters yet?
Yeah.
That was the perfect Father's Day gift.
Yeah.
I don't want some fucking...
new tie that says...
upon tie.
Best dad ever.
Yeah.
Oh,
I wouldn't want a brunch either. I wouldn't want to do it. I'm like, I'd like to take this Father's Day and not do any of that. Yeah, I'm talking to you.
Yeah, but I had a fantastic Father. Lauren got, she asked me what I wanted to do. I wanted to go to the pool and sit there and stare into the ether and get sunburned. And we had a really bad storm in Richmond last Thursday.
Dang.
Dang. Yeah, it was pretty bad. Like 250,000 people without power until today. But the pool had no power. And I was like, who gives a shit? It's outside. Doesn't matter. They're like, nope, we can't run the pumps for the pool. It's going to get disgusting.
People are going to get like chemicals all off. Shit.
Yeah, full of Zika virus.
And I was like, oh, fuck. So Lauren was like, well, I mean, he wanted to go to the pool. He probably wants to go to the minor league baseball game, too. And I was like, I don't really want to do that. I'm just going to sit here and do nothing. But I got my ass on my bicycle and we rode over, and it was a great time. While I was locking up the bikes, some other dad walked up to Lauren and was like, "Hey, I got 4 extra tickets. You want them?" And I was like, "Sweet, fuck yeah,
even
man!
Even better, free shit on Father's Day. What could be more?"
And it was like the shitty general admission tickets.
Great, those are great.
But the way the sun was, it was right where it was shaded. You know. Perfect.
So yeah, speaking of bikes and children, one daughter's 4, and then your youngest is how old now?
2.
So what do you guys use to ride your children on your bikes?
Got a little rickshaw, put them on. Like a little wagon thing.
Yeah. They both chill in there.
He goes behind. They love it.
Are you better bicyclists because they're back there? Like, do you go slower, I guess? Or you still give shit? You're like, we're fucking turboing out on this one.
I don't really feel like it changes anything. It's not that hard to pull them. It's fucking heavy. Like, Lauren doesn't like to ride them around because it's like the carrier itself is probably 35 to 40 pounds. And then you jam each one of those kids in there. I mean, you're looking at like 100 to 120 pounds.
Dang, it's a nice quad workout there.
Yeah.
Would you guys consider getting those, like, some kind of a bike seat where they sit either in front of or behind you, one on each of your bikes or something?
So your kid can smell your farts, right?
We've also got the bike seat where the kid sits between the handlebars and you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I like that kid.
But it's just, and I love it. It's great, but Anna, the 4-year-old, has gotten too big for it. So
she's like blocking your view.
She can't fit in there. And the younger one can. Like it's a good thing to invest in. Like if y'all have bikes, I really like. That's my favorite place to put them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because they're it doesn't even matter, and it's got like all these attachments where you clip them in and you buckle them and you tighten the buckle and all this. It's basically a fucking car seat attached to the bike. You don't even need any of that. You could just set the kid in there with no attachments.
Yeah.
But because of where they are between your knees and between your arms, they're never going to fall out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know? It's a really secure way to ride around. And it's also nice that, like, you can hear each other.
Yeah.
And you can point to shit and say, "Oh, what color is that tree?" And you know, it's very interactive. It's a really good way to ride around. Whereas like when they're in the back, "Hey, Daddy, Darby, punch me in the face," and I'm like, "Darby, don't do that," you know. But you're yelling forward.
Yeah.
No, I don't know. It just doesn't work out very well.
Yeah. See, I think that's maybe where, like, you know, if I pull them, then you can ride along the side so you can police them, right? It's like we're herding cattle, sort of.
Yeah. Yeah.
Hey, you stop it. Yeah.
Quit your shit.
Yeah. No, you should definitely get one of those, like, middle carrier things.
Yeah, those look cool, but it's going on his bike, not mine.
God. Yeah.
I barely trust myself in my own life when I'm on my bike.
Same. I wouldn't put my children with you in there.
Or, I don't know. The one thing that sucks really bad about riding around with it is you got to ride like you're bow-legged. Yeah, because otherwise you're going to have bruised knees where you're like hitting the bottom of the carrier.
Yeah.
That sort of sucks. So if you, I guess it depends on how often you ride.
Yeah.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see. Maybe even give them both and then figure out which one is best. Yeah, I was looking forward to that. The thing that sucks here in San Antonio is that it's hot as fuck, you know?
Yeah.
And, like, I can take it. Gina can take it. But just kind of barely. Yeah, with the fucking kid. Look at her.
Yeah.
Fucking useless-ass kid.
And now you have to consider that with all the freaking baby gear. Like, I've been looking at strollers because we're thinking about getting one eventually. We haven't needed it yet. We've been fine. But then, you know, reading reviews about, like, this, if you live in a hot climate, don't get this one because the baby's going to freaking sweat to death in there.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, jeez.
God. Jeez, kid.
Crap.
Useless ass children.
Can you just walk, please, with no gear? You're really easy on me.
Stop shitting everywhere.
When you get your license. Yeah, I was going to say, so you guys went over to the minor league baseball game. Really, minor league and college games are such a great value. It's a little bit like how I imagine old school style, you know, NBA games, MLB games were back in the day. Mm-hmm. When you just walk up and get $5 tickets and they're not hashtag brands and trying to sell you everything, you know? Just
right.
Like, hey, come out to the ball game and get you some popcorn and Cracker Jack.
Yeah, enjoy the ball game.
Yeah, and yeah, that those are ideal. Like going to like a minor league baseball game, minor league soccer, even.
Yeah,
and then college games, you get real bang for your buck that way too. Those are like $10. You can go watch, you know, Division I basketball teams play each other, and it's and you're like right there, so it's a little bit more entertaining than.
Potentially soon to be professional athletes.
Yeah, and occasionally you get like one guy that's going to make the league. You're like, you know what? This guy's going to eventually win an NBA title as the 15th dude on the roster. So,
right.
Technically, he's gonna help Shaq
even
balls for
even
the
if we did planet. Even if we did pay for the game, the tickets were $5 per.
Yeah,
like it's not, you know, it's pretty low impact.
Yeah,
and it's just I don't know. It's just nice. Getting out there and just seeing something. And I really like the riding the bike aspect because I just fucking hate parking and dealing with the traffic of sporting events and shit like that. If there is ever a public transportation or like non-car way to get to a sporting event, that's absolutely the best way to do it.
Yeah. Yeah. If you can get dropped off and picked up, that's great. It's friggin' sweet. I mean, yeah, like, we walked to the, was it the Sounders game in Seattle from my hotel, and then we walked back. That was pretty ideal.
Yeah.
Because you can just walk away. You don't have to, like, where's the car, and then sit in the line for 8 years.
So, speaking of sports, and to go back to the finals again, one thing I noticed, I guess you guys probably realize this all the time, but watching this series is the ridiculousness of the stats tracking.
Yeah.
Do you guys pay attention to this? Like, the stats that they were pointing out all the time, like, it was important, but it was so specific. Like, this is the first time, this is the second time someone has made this many rebounds wearing multicolored shoes in a finals in the West Coast. Like, what?
Yeah.
Why?
Yeah. I mean, yeah, that's been a long conversation in, like, basketball stuff fandom. They talk about it all the time. Like, this is in an NBA Finals Game 7, this is the most points that anybody's ever scored. Now, what does it tell you?
When the team had four guys over 7 foot, but only two guys under 6'3".
Yeah. I mean,
who cares?
Yeah, like, any number is supposed to give you some kind of way to measure or to compare two different things, right? That's why you do that. I mean, that's what basketball is. They're like, all right, we're going to measure you guys by the weight, by how often you score points. That's how we'll measure. Whoever has the most points at the end of this game will declare the winner. That's how you determine it, right? Everything else past that, you know, doesn't count for the game. But then, you know, you're trying to compare eras or things like that. Like, LeBron James, is he great? Well, I don't know. He scored 41 points. Is that good? I don't know. Well, who else scored 41 points? Well, three guys. Okay, well, what about in game threes? Okay, two guys. I mean, so you're trying to compare them across eras. The problem with that is, yeah, like you said, it's ridiculous because it doesn't tell you very much, you know? Because you're like, you know, in 1962, nobody had any muscle tissue. You know what I mean? Like,
right.
They were all thick dudes.
We were playing in Converse.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Who cares?
And somebody pointed out that
playing outside.
Yeah, you can't even compare those things. Like, they're putting out the decreasing the record for 100-yard dash, how it's decreased so tremendously over the years, right? And so 10 points in 1962 is not 10 points in today's NBA final. I don't know if Bill Russell transplanted through time could score 10 points in today's NBA, you know,
with people like to talk about how this guy, oh, he's just amazing. He just won so many titles with the Celtics. It's so great.
Yeah, there are two teams, so they just
beat.
It'd be the other team that could score. Yeah, that's it. But at the same time, there's no NBA now without those guys then. So we want to compare across eras, but there's no NBA basketball now if there wasn't Bill Russell, if there wasn't a World Be Free or Wes Unseld, and yeah, it doesn't happen. That's the other thing. Those guys like had regular jobs. There's one guy who's like, well, you know, the NBA didn't have benefits. So I worked a factory gig, Monday through Friday.
I sold toasters.
Now
these fancy new contraptions called toasters.
Play basketball on the weekends. Yeah, that's great. During the summer, I try to be a lawyer, took night school. And now they're like, I 100% concentrate on fucking playing. Like, they have a whole team of dudes that are like, here's your pill.
Here's how you can get better.
Yeah.
We develop training regimen.
Fuck yeah. They got sport the cameras that watch them play basketball, and then sophisticated computer algorithms that determine whether or not they made the right decision. You know? They're like, this spreadsheet, we really figure that you need to go left foot first as you're attacking the basket. That'll really, you know, help your biomechanics. You know, and fucking the guy back then, they're like, you know, like you said, there's just some dude like, do you guys want to shoot around? Like, nah, let's smoke a cigarette and have a beer. Then we'll go to the game. Sweet, let's do it. You know? That was it. That was their preparation. So you can't compare that guy going out to the NBA Finals later that day after smoking a cigarette and putting up, you know, 13 rebounds in that game versus LeBron James doing 13 rebounds in this game. It's too different. It's not to fucking say.
No.
Good point, Gina. Everything's stupid.
It's stupid.
Yeah, it was like even as recently as the 90s in soccer, like world soccer, they would smoke and drink at halftime. They would go in there, kick the ball around, and come in, and they're like, that was a stressful-ass game, man. That guy almost scored a goal. Somebody give me a cigarette. Yeah, it was like when Arsene Wenger, the dude from Arsenal, he's been their coach since like 96, something like that. That one of the first things that he did in his revolutionary contribution to the league was banning smoking from his team and insisting that everybody eat better and exercise.
Take care of themselves. Revolutionary.
Yeah, I was like, whoa, his teams are able to run longer and faster. They don't get so many injuries. And it kind of looks like they're in shape the whole season.
It's crazy, man.
Yeah, everything's stupid.
But it's like, the thing that's crazy is, like, it's like that in all areas of life.
Yeah.
Like, it's not just athletes. Like, this is how, and I understand it's not the same magnitude, but this is how accountants are. This is how, like, computer technicians are. This is how, like, pharmacists are. This is how everybody is. Mm-hmm. Like, they used to just show up. Fucking, work for a little while. I'll go catch a buzz over lunch.
Yeah.
Maybe it runs too long. Maybe it doesn't. Who gives a fuck?
Yeah.
And now we're all like on the grindstone, man.
Yeah. They're like, no more drinking at all during the workday. Mm-hmm. And you probably shouldn't drink ever. You know, in order to get this job, you can't just be somebody's cousin. You actually should maybe.
We're too obsessed with success and efficiency, man.
A little bit that.
Can't just live our lives, you know?
How many rebounds do you get on Sundays after, following the summer solstice, though? Huh?
Somebody knows the answer to that.
What's your batting average on the full moon, huh?
Yeah.
That's pretty good. Again, what does that tell you? It tells you everything's stupid.
Not smart lesson for today, kids.
Yeah, I think we're right up on the point where this is going to be a too long episode. People are going to look at the time and go, oh, hey, listen to all that.
Yeah.
So it's time to go.
Say goodbye.
Thank you for listening. So yeah, go watch The Messenger. Actually, as soon as you listen to
2009.
2009 version. No matter what you're doing, just immediately just go.
In the middle of work. It.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're not doing anything anyway. They haven't algorithmed your job yet.
Don't let them control your life, man.
The robots are going to do your job pretty soon anyway, man. Might as well get a fucking movie in. You know?
That's right.
They'll have a sophisticated algorithm to, based on what I bought at Target, to diagnose me and then send me some pills to fix it. Now all that will happen pretty soon. They said one of the best determinants is a Google symptom checker. You're like, I have an itchy throat and a giant red, you know, ball on my eye. And they're like, oh, yeah, you have cipitopodocus. And then they're like, oh, it's mostly right a lot of times, as long as you just kind of accurately
your,
report your
roommate
symptoms.
Roommate put his butt on your pillow, and there's a cold going around. Cool, how did you know?
Yeah. So pretty soon, based on the type of espresso you buy, like, you're likely to develop espresso cancer. And, you know, they just go ahead and start sending you pills right away, and everything's fine.
That's right.
It's going to be great. It's going to be great.
Can't wait.
Can't wait. Just the same way they send you Gillette razors when you're 18. They just knew already. Like, here you go, dude. You fucking turn 18.
Bet you got Gillette. Buzz.
Yeah. Like, fuck, how'd they know? Same way. They just get a little more sophisticated. Hey, based on all those drinks you got at the local club, you probably have herpes now. So, start taking these. How'd you know? So itchy. All right, ladies and gentlemen, thank you for listening to the show.
Welcome.
Thanks, Brad, for showing up.
Woo!
You're on vacation. How was your vacation? Real quick.
It was delightful. I did nothing.
Great. That's the way
vacation is. The best kind.
I went to a lake. Sat around. Great.
Isn't it great just to do that?
Yeah! It's amazing. It's really great.
Did at any point that you just kind of think, what's the fucking point of getting up and going to do my job, working hard? You're like, really? This is all I want to do right here is this.
Yeah.
This is it. I don't do anything.
Sit around.
Ladies and gentlemen, everybody just quit your jobs. Fucking quit. We'll quit. We'll go to the fucking lake. Being a commune or something. All right, ladies and gentlemen. Yeah. We're done. We're done.